If you'd like to spend some time with real people with a real heart for God, we welcome you to visit us at Harvest Church in Alexandria, Virginia. Our Sunday morning services are held at 10:30, and our Family Night Fellowship takes place on Wednesday at 7 p.m. Come experience God's awesome, life-changing power as we worship in His presence, fellowship with one another, commit to discipleship, and share God's love through evangelism. For more information or directions, visit harvestnova.com. That's harvestnova.com.
I want to share a message today to encourage you and to bless your heart. And the scripture that I want to use is found in Genesis chapter 28. Genesis chapter 28. Begin reading at verse number 10. It's about Jacob. It says, Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. All the peoples on the earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. He was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. Early the next morning, Jacob took the stone he had placed under his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. He called that place Bethel, though the city used to be called Luz. Then Jacob made a vow saying, if God will be with me and will watch over me on this journey I am taking and will give me food to eat and clothes to wear, so that I may return safely to my father's house, then the Lord will be my God. And this stone that I have set up as a pillar will be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will give to you a tenth. The title of my message this morning is Facing an Uncertain Future. Facing an Uncertain Future. If there ever were uncertain times, we live in them now. Wouldn't you agree with that? In just a matter of weeks, our nation and indeed our world have been transformed. One of the things we all have in common is an inability to predict the future. Although we tried, and we're hearing forecasts now about how things will play out, and I respect the knowledge and wisdom of medical professionals and others who know a lot more about certain things than I do, but even an educated guess is still a guess, isn't it? And so we can't predict the future, though people have tried. Listen to some of these predictions that have been offered in the past. In AD 100, Julius Sextus Frontius said, inventions have long since reached their limit, and I see no hope for further developments. Well, that's about 1,900 years ago. I think we've had a few developments since then. Here's a good one. In 1893, Junius Henry Brown, a journalist, predicted that, quote, law will be simplified over the next century. Lawyers will have diminished and their fees will have been vastly curtailed. Don't you wish that were true? In 1895, Albert Einstein's teacher said to Einstein's father, it doesn't matter what he does, he will never amount to anything. And there's this one. In 1995, in an issue of InfoWorld, Bob Metcalf said, I predict the internet will go spectacularly supernova and in 1996 catastrophically collapse. I'm glad that one didn't come to fruition, aren't you? All these experts make these predictions with seeming absolute certainty, but the fact of the matter is they couldn't predict the future, and neither can we. And an uncertain future, especially when there are foreboding circumstances as there are now, can be very unsettling. That is certainly true in the situation we find ourselves. You know that. You see the news. You are aware. Well, in our passage this morning, Jacob was facing an uncertain future. You may remember the story. He had deceived his father at the urging of his mother. He had stolen his brother Esau's birthright, and as a result, Esau, who was the older brother and rightful heir to the birthright of his father, nevertheless had it stolen by Jacob, and he vowed that when Isaac, their father, died, that he would kill his brother Jacob. And so Jacob's mother said, "Why don't you go back to Haran, to where my people are, some 450 miles away?" And this passage finds Jacob on the way there, about 70 miles from home, on his 450-mile journey. And he stops for the night, lays his head down. It wasn't a particularly notable place in which he stopped. And if anybody was facing an uncertain future, it was Jacob. And as he lays down for the night, he has a vision. And God appears to him, and God speaks to him and reassures him that God will do in Jacob's life what God has purposed to do. And this morning, I want the words that God spoke to Jacob and the experience of Jacob to serve as encouragement for you and me in these uncertain times. Yes, the future is uncertain. There are many things we can't know and we can't predict, but I'll tell you this, nothing is uncertain to our God. Amen? Nothing catches him by surprise. And so this morning, as we contemplate our future, I want to answer the question in the next few minutes, how can I face an uncertain future? What is involved for the Christian, for the child of God, in facing a future that seems uncertain? How can I do that and navigate my way through that time? Well, I want to suggest to you four ways to face uncertainty in the future. The first is this, it's to remember God's promises. Remember God's promises. God said to Jacob in this vision, "I will give you and your descendants the land on which you were lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth and will spread out to the east and west, the north and south. All the peoples of the earth will be blessed through your offspring." This was quite a promise. A couple things to note. First of all, this is a repetition or an echo of the promise that God had given to Jacob's grandfather, Abraham, and to Jacob's father, Isaac. And though he was the younger of the two brothers, the two sons of Isaac, yet God had decreed that his promise to Abraham would be fulfilled through the line of his grandson, Jacob. The second thing to note is this was quite a promise because Jacob had no wife, he had no offspring at this time, he had no prospect. Life was bleak, life was uncertain, but into that uncertainty speaks the voice of Almighty God. The Lord reminds Jacob of the promises he made. He said, basically said, "I made a promise to your grandfather Abraham and to your father Isaac, and I repeat that promise to you. This land will be your land. Your descendants will be numerous and will bless the earth." God's promises are meant to be taken seriously this morning. God expects you to take him at his word. God expects you to trust in his promises. In the book, The Name of God's Promises, Mark Tabb writes, "The message of promise is the beginning and end of everything that is included in the Bible. It undergirds every word, sometimes openly, sometimes subtly, but it is always there. God's promises are the common thread that unite the Old and New Testament, the core that makes 66 books into one." God keeps his promises. Heard a story about a software error that was responsible for the tax department in Ohio, making a promise it couldn't keep. In January of this particular year, Denise Bassetti received a letter stating that her $200 million tax refund could not be paid by direct deposit, but that she would receive a paper check. I'd settle for a paper check like that, wouldn't you? Of course we would. But she said that she and her boyfriend had a big laugh over that, and about a week later she received not a check, but a letter explaining the computer error. And it's easy to become a little cynical about promises, because all of us have experienced promises that aren't met. But I'm here to reassure you today, God keeps his promises, every one of them. And he means for you to take him at his word. What are some of your favorite promises, the promises of God? There are some that I love in the scripture. I will never leave you nor forsake you, God said. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. I love this one from Isaiah 26:3. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. And I love the promise that says that you will hear the still small voice of God saying, this is the way, walk in it. What are some of your favorite promises today? What are some of the promises in the Word of God that have come alive to you that you've clung to in the past? I encourage you to cling to them today. Maybe God has spoken a rhema word into your spirit, a promise for you and for your family and your loved ones and for your future. Let me tell you, even when circumstances around us seem to negate the promises of God, seem to go against what God would have us to believe, I'd rather believe in the promises of God than in the circumstances around me. How about you? God keeps his promises. Cling to the promises of God during uncertain times, because the word of God, the promise of God, will come through and will be an anchor for you to hold on to. What's the second way we can face an uncertain future? It's to acknowledge God's presence. In verse 15 here, God said to Jacob, I am with you. I will not leave you. Now, I preached last Sunday when we were gathered here together a message on living in a no-fear zone. And I emphasized the point that God is with us. You may say, Pastor Tim, why are you emphasizing that again today? Well, I'll tell you. When I look in Scripture, I don't see that there's just one time or a couple times that God said to various individuals, I will be with you. But God said that over and over and over again to various individuals throughout Scripture. I believe God repeats a lot of things for our benefit, because how many know we're human, and even though we're aware of things, maybe intellectually, or we have heard things in the past, how many know we need to be reminded? As I get older, I am amazed at the sheer number of things that I desperately need to be reminded of. Perhaps some of you can relate to that. And so we need to be reminded. So we're going to emphasize again today, if God can repeat it, I can too. God says, I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Jacob may have felt alone, but he was never alone, and neither are we. God is with us. In Psalm 23, David said, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Jesus encouraged his disciples in Matthew 28 by assuring them, surely I am with you always. Hebrews 13:5 says, God will never leave us nor forsake us. God's word to you and to me today in March of 2020, even in the midst of a worldwide pandemic, that God is with us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I love the story that Anne Graham Lotz shares. She is one of the daughters of Billy Graham, a anointed and gifted minister in her own right. And she says that when she and her husband, Denny, attend football games at his alma mater, the University of North Carolina, of course, there are thousands of people cramming into the parking lots and making their way to the stadium. And she said, often she can't see where she's going. But what she relies on is the fact that her husband, Denny, is 6'7" tall. He towers above most people in that environment. So she said, I take his hand, and if all else fails, I just look for the tallest head there. That's my husband, Denny, and I know he's with me and I'm all right. Well, let me tell you, whatever crowd you may be in or however alone you may feel, either way, you can find your God. You say, Pastor Tim, sometimes I don't feel him. That's okay. The scripture says we walk by faith and not by sight. We don't go by our feelings, but we trust the word of Lord, amen, that says, I am with you. Let me encourage you today. Things may look bleak in the world. Things may look bleak in areas of your personal life. But your God has not forsaken you. He is with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Others may abandon you. You may be separated from others by circumstance, but God will never separate himself from you. I've said it in emails. I said it this morning. I'll say it again. He is not limited by time nor space. God is with you. You can face knowing that God is and will always be with you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. What's the third way we can face uncertainty in the future? It's to rest in God's protection. God says in verse 15, I will watch over you. In other words, I'm going to protect you on this perilous journey. Jacob was facing uncertainty and the unknown, but God said, I will protect you. Now, this didn't mean that nothing negative could happen to Jacob. This is not a guarantee that everything will be smooth sailing. We know the Bible doesn't say that. Matter of fact, Jesus said, in this world, you will have tribulation. So the Word of God is clear that there will be times of difficulty, times of suffering, times of challenges and problems in our life. The Word of God makes that clear. And life experience makes that clear to us, doesn't it? We know that difficult times come to good people, to God's people. However, God said, I will protect you. I will watch over you. Now, I know what you may be saying today. If God will protect us, then why do things happen? Bad things happen to good people. Why do diseases come? The COVID virus and cancer and other things happen to God's people. Well, I can't explain all of that, but I can say this to you. The sovereign God that we sang about this morning is in control. And he loves you. And he will not allow anything into your life that is not in accordance with his purpose for you. You say, does that mean that God can use negative things in my life? Absolutely. Sometimes, Pastor Tim, things come in my life and I just can't understand. I just can't ascertain how some of these terrible things in my life can in any way be used for good, how in any way be used for the purposes of God. Let me say to you what we sang this morning. Even what the enemy means for evil, you turn it, you God, turn it for our good. Hallelujah. You see, the sovereignty of God means that whatever comes our way, whatever negative circumstances may intrude upon our lives, God has the power to use it for our good and for his purpose. Now, our good may not be everything we want to have happen. It may not be for $1 million to drop into our bank account. It may not be for us to never have a sickness or never have problem or never have a challenge in life, but it will be for our good and according to his purpose. This is where it comes down to trusting an almighty God to watch over us. There was an upscale bakery in a place called Split, Croatia. It had a problem with break-ins. I guess people would come in and I guess their baked goods were that good, you know. You think of robberies, you don't usually think of a bakery. But people would break into the bakery, they would break the window or break through the door and break in, invade the cash register perhaps. And so the owners of the bakery came up with a unique idea. They took one of those life-size cardboard cutouts of Chuck Norris. You know who Chuck Norris is? Apparently he's well known in Croatia as well as here. And, you know, he's a tough guy. And so they put a life-size cardboard cutout of Chuck Norris at the entrance to their store with a sign that said, this bakery is under watch by Chuck Norris. Well, guess what? Their break-in stopped. I guess people didn't know if Chuck Norris was really there, perhaps hiding in the back room of the store or what. But the bakery stopped. Why? Because there was the indication that somebody who could prevent the negative circumstances, could prevent the break-ins, was watching over that place. Let me tell you this morning, if a cardboard cutout of a fictionalized action hero can protect a bakery in Croatia from something negative happening, how much more can Almighty God, who spoke the universe into existence, protect and watch over you this morning? His power is limitless. Psalm 18:2 says, "You are my mighty rock, my fortress, my protector, the rock where I am safe, my shield, my powerful weapon, and my place of shelter." God is. Rest in that protection. Know that as we walk with Him, yes, negative things will take place, but He will not allow one thing to come into our lives that is not for our good and not in accordance with His will for our lives. You can rest in the protection of Almighty God this morning. What's the fourth way to face an uncertain future? It's to believe for God's provision. The phrase in the Hebrew that I referenced a moment ago, "I will watch over you," the Hebrew verb there can mean to watch over, but it can also mean to provide for. It has a dual meaning. It's the word used, it's first used in Scripture in Genesis 2:15, where God instructed Adam to, quote, take care of the garden. In other words, to provide for its needs. And so this verb used here means that God was also promising to provide for Jacob on his journey, his food and clothing. As a matter of fact, verse 20 that we read says that God will provide for Jacob and give him food to eat and clothes to wear. God is Jehovah Jireh, our provider. He promised to provide for all the needs of His people. Jesus reminds us that the Father knows that we need these things. And since He provides what is needed for the birds of the air, certainly He will provide them for us. We need to remember the promises of God. You've watched the news. You've heard the stories. The stock market has spiraled downward. Businesses are closed, many of them permanently. Employees are, in many cases, lacking income or soon to be. And this just adds, in addition to the worry over the physical well-being of our citizens, the financial uncertainty is a huge unknown, a huge potential burden for the people of God. I can tell you this morning, God provides for His people. And I could take the time, but I won't this morning, to tell you how time after time after time, God provided materially for me and for my family, everything we've needed. And no doubt, many of you could do so as well. God is a God who provides. He takes care of His people. Let me tell you this morning, if you are concerned about your financial future, about your material well-being, let me tell you this. God knows what you need. And not only does He know what you need right now, He knows what you're going to need next week. He knows what you're going to need next month and next year. The experts say we may feel the financial fallout of this pandemic for years to come. We just don't know. It's uncertain. But it's not uncertain to your God. He knows what you need. And in the name of Jesus today, if you are being plagued by fear over your financial future and your material well-being, I have a word from God to you. God knows your needs, and God declares to you, as He declared to Jacob, "I will provide for you. I will give you everything that you need." It doesn't matter what the need is. Your God will provide for you. He will make a way where there seems to be no way. Yes, the future is uncertain, church. We can't predict it as much as we may try. But look at Jacob's response to the word of God in the midst of his uncertainty. He made a vow. He said, "If God does what He promised, I will follow Him." But This in the Hebrew can also be translated sin. God has promised these things. I will follow him. I will worship him. I will cling to him. And I believe that should be our response as well. Because of the assurance of Almighty God, his promises that are yes and amen, his presence that he said will be with us at all times, his protection that he will watch over us and not allow anything into our lives that is not for our good and according to his purpose, and the fact that he said he will provide for us everything we need. He is worthy of our worship. He is worthy of our clinging to him. If God has been so good to us in what we might call happier times, although we know there are always trials. This is not the first time we've experienced trials, although the scope and the magnitude and the uncertainty may be somewhat new. We've always experienced trials, but yet our God has seen us through. And he will see us through this, church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, the future may be uncertain, but we serve a certain God. Hallelujah.